Pittsburgh Section, National Council of Jewish Women, Oral History. This is Betty Purr interviewing Mr. Sam Berman on November 2nd, 1988. All right, Mr. Berman, you were telling me about the Labor Zionist Organization, and you mentioned a gentleman by the name of Mr. Sam Taub. Could you tell me a little more about him?
About my
about Mr. Taub. As far as
I could only tell you one, if I ever met a man who was always willing to help somebody, he never denied. He was the owner of the Penn Overall Company, and he had some partners, and he was a member in the Jewish Home of the Age, and he was taking care, you know, on all the buildings. And I used to go with him very often, you know, help him decide. It was my decision to build a building in one place because that time the government didn't allow to build, but they needed it. And they wanted to build it on a place that says, no good, better go up higher. So they come down with the same elevators, they'll be able to go to the dining room. This was my idea. And I was going with him almost every Sunday, help him when, and he was well respected. It was well respected, yeah.
That's wonderful. I have heard very, very many good things about... I said I've heard very many good things about the Hebrew Free Loan, so I can understand what you're saying. Just out of curiosity, do they only help Jewish people, or do they help everyone?
We're not allowed. We have some colored people come around, not too many. We help them.
Oh, you are allowed to help others.
It's a state law. You can't have a thing like this.
I see.
You got to, anybody comes around, you have to do it.
I see.
Not only Jewish, but the biggest people, and the Jewish people and all. We had a lot of people. One man left $150,000. He was a jewelry man. He left us, you know. We were in Israel, we met a lady who was a teacher, and she retired. She left us $25,000, you know. We met her. I never knew her here, but I met her in Israel. We were eating lunch, and she told me she's from Pittsburgh. I forgot her name.
That's wonderful.
You'd be surprised.
You probably still are very involved with Israel Bonds. Could you tell me how and when you started with Israel Bonds?
I was at the first meeting what was his name?
Charles
Rosenblum was a rich man in Pittsburgh. You ever heard his name?
No.
Well, then you won't agree now. If you didn't know Charlie Rosenblum's name, then you don't know nobody. Well, he's dead, and he was a very fine man, and he was born in this country, and he was always a leading philanthrop, you know. So we had our meeting in his house in the basement.
When? What year do you think?
Well, I couldn't.
Do you have any idea? Well, that's all right. It isn't important. When it first started.
When they just started there, no, then Ben Gurion was there.
30 years ago.
You know.
30 years ago. All right, that's enough.
I don't know exactly how many years.
All right, and I'm sure you've been an officer with Israel.
I'm always in work with the bonds. You know. Well, these are the finest things in Jewish people ever accomplished. We'll never would raise that kind of money without we have the bonds.
Yes, I realize that. I understand. But I just wondered, what capacity were you, president? Were you chairman of different?
I didn't have any honors. Mm-hmm. I was just a worker.
You worked.
You know, I belonged to the labor Zionist.
Yeah.
I was a laborer all the time. I was participating in any function, but as far as Israel is concerned, I participated in every function.
Mm-hmm. What about the Jewish National Fund?
Well, last night, for the Jewish National Fund. I told you I started the near Fifth Avenue High School with a box.
Yeah.
I'm always a member.
He's on the board.
I've been always a member. I started my career in Israel, in Europe yet, with a box.
Mm-hmm.
This was the foundation of Zion.
So you've been with the Jewish National Fund
from the very beginning. And with the bonds.
He's on the board.
In the Poilu Zion branch. from one branch, you know.
Mm-hmm. All right, tell me something about your family. How many children do you have?
We have one son and one daughter.
Are they here in the city?
No.
Where do they live?
One is in Philadelphia, okay. And he's very active in Jewish life too. And he has three children, one daughter and two boys.
Mm-hmm. That's your son and yeah. Your daughter?
Daughter lives in Albuquerque, New Mexico.
Mm, it's a long way. Albuquerque.
And she's married to a psychiatrist, a doctor, who was picked by Manningers. You know who Manningers is?
Mm.
Huh? He was picked by Manningers to open up our office. He had an office of his own,
mm-hmm.
And he operated very well. So he was invited to come to Albuquerque, from Albuquerque to Topeka, to talk to them. And he was there for a month. Told them he was operating his own business.
Mm-hmm.
2 weeks later, came a man from Murray and he says, look, we want to buy you out. We want to make you a branch of Manningers.
Hmm.
So he digged with them and everything, made a deal with them. And he worked with them. He moved his office over and made a bigger, and they gave him another psychiatrist. Now he wrote him a letter that he wants to quit. They wanted him to sign for 10 years. He says, no, only for 5. Now it's too much work, you know, to work with this old people. So he's going to quit. So he still got a year and a half. So he gave him enough notice. And now they're negotiating to get another man. And they're going to open up branches from Albuquerque to Los Angeles under his supervision, you know. You know, this is the way it is. Then he's got 3 children. And they're all already college graduated and born is in Europe now.
That's wonderful. Let me go back a little. What is the birthday of your son? When was he born?
He was born October the 6th,
1950.
He's 56.
So it'd be
1932.
Yeah.
And what is his first name?
Marvin.
Marvin.
Yeah. Marvin Berman.
And he's an architect?
He's in Philadelphia.
And when was your daughter born?
My oldest one. 51.
So that's 1937. And what is her name?
And she's a...
What is her name?
Her name is Bathsheba, yeah. But we call her Beth.
Beth?
Beth Rosenstein.
Beth?
She got wonderful 3 children, and they already college graduate. Everybody is young.
That's wonderful. Now, could you tell me something about your son when he was growing up as far as his education, what type of education, where he went?
He graduated Carnegie Tech as an architect.
First graduated. Carnegie Tech?
Yes.
And he was among the first graduates there.
All right, as an architect. Tell me a little bit about his earlier childhood. Where did he go to school? Which grammar school?
You mean
your son?
The son was going to. No, of course he was going to the Roosevelt School.
Roosevelt?
It was young.
Where is that?
It's on Greenfield Avenue.
On Greenfield Avenue. All right, now that was elementary school,
mm-hmm.
right? And then high school?
Then he went to Teldred High School.
Aldred High School.
Yeah. And he graduated with honors with the first group.
And then as far as before he graduated when he was 13, he had a bar mitzvah.
No.
Where? What synagogue?
In the Bnei Amuna. It was a small shul. The Bnei Amuna was on Maury Avenue. It was a little small.
How do you spell it? you know. Binnai. B-N-A-I.
B-N-A-I. Amuna.
E-M.
I'm not so sure.
E-M-U-N-A.
A-M-O-N-U-R-H-A-M-O-N-A. So you understand that. You know what it means, Amun?
No.
This is in Hebrew. The sons of belief. Amunah is belief.
Oh. What was it? A small synagogue? Mm.
Yeah.
An Orthodox synagogue?
Yeah, none of those. Now it's a little bigger because they bought that building and they enlarged it. But then Hebrew, that wasn't a small storeroom.
Did he have any further Hebrew education other than just going as far as
little bit before he became Bar Mitzvah.
But I mean, he didn't go to any Hebrew
Mr. Kimmel from the Zionist?
Yes.
Well, he was his teacher. He was teaching him, prepared him to be Bar Mitzvah.
But what I meant was he didn't go any further than to any Hebrew college.
Yeah, but he picked it up now. He was in Israel quite a few times, and now he took up, him and his wife took up Hebrew, and they both speak Hebrew.
After all these years, isn't that something? So now he took up Hebrew
he's
taking her course. Did your daughter, those days they didn't have bas mitzvahs, but did she have any further education?
In Hebrew?
In Hebrew.
She was going to the
Sunday school.
What's her name?
Sunday school.
She went to Sunday school in this big shul place.
In
the Beit Shalom. You know.
No.
All right, and did she go any further as far as any college studies, anything?
No.
I mean as far as Hebrew.
No.
All right. Now your son graduated from Carnegie Tech. Where did your daughter graduate from? Your daughter went to Alderdice, I assume, and then did she go to college from there?
She went to
Boston.
To Boston.
Simmons College.
What's her name?
Simmons.
Simmons College in Boston.
Simmons?
Yeah.
To be a dietitian.
She got permission to go for 1 year to Simmons College.
Mm-hmm.
But she liked Simmons College because she wanted to take up home economics.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah. So then she continued and she graduated.
Yeah. Then she was supposed to come back and go here in Pitt. Mm-hmm.
Is Simmons College a small university?
No,
big one in Boston. The result was that she was gone 4 or 5 years. She was gone to Simmons. She graduated.
Uh-huh.
And she's a good home economist.
Uh-huh. And then where did she go from there when she graduated college?
She worked in the St. Margaret's hospital.
She worked in some hospitals. So.
She worked at St. Margaret's Hospital.
As a dietitian, yeah.
Was she there for a long time?
No,
not very long. Then she went to Israel.
Uh-huh.
And when she was in Israel, our mother-in-law found out that our daughter was there, and my son-in-law was in the school in the hospital in Israel. You know, he was an intern. So she wrote him a letter and told him, Bet Verman is there, you better meet her. So he met her in Israel.
Uh-huh.
And then they both got married.
Oh, I see. Oh, isn't that interesting? Mr. Verman, we didn't ask you your birthday. When
first
were
name,
you born?
Huh?
We forgot to ask you your birthday. When
My
were you
birthday
born?
is June the 15th, 1905.
And is there anything else that you would like to tell me as far as you are retired now, aren't you?
No, tired.
Tired?
Tired, yeah.
Are you still working?
I'm not working, but I have some property. I'll take a little bit of care of that.
Could you tell me any more about the shopping centers that you owned? They sound very interesting. Just different stories about how you got involved in them and so forth.
Let me tell you something. You know, I was sitting in a restaurant. It used to be, they call it the sandwich inn on the hill. Mm-hmm. They used to give you a Colombian sandwich on the hand, you know. Mm-hmm. And I met a man sitting there near me, and he was eating too. So I started talking to him, and his name is Morris Rosenstein. And he's 93 years old. He's still living now. Mm-hmm. He lives in downtown. And we became friends. Then he was in the feed business. You know, that time was used to be a lot of Jewish oxters with horses. Mm-hmm. Then the car came in and they went out of business. So he had to get out of the feed business too, you know. Mm-hmm. So I got friendly with him. And he took in some builder supply business, you know, like cement and plaster and everything else. So we became good friends. Then he decided he wants to go in the lumber business. So I made him up a lease. This was right in the out of the depression. Mm-hmm. I made him up a lease for the needs and everything else. The first lease I made him up to buy the lumber business. Then I built him a lumber yard. I made him the plans and I built him a lumber yard. And he put me out on the front street, you know, they see me, you know, working with him. So I built three, four more buildings. And then the Penn Overall was there next door. So we got friends with Mr. Kelb. And I built them a few buildings, you know. So this is where I started my career as a contractor.
That's wonderful. That's so interesting.
Then I was building storefronts all around Pittsburgh, jewelry storefronts. There was a man, a very fine man. His name was Myers in Little Washington. And he had a lot of jewelry stores. You know, so I built some of them for him. You know, this way I started my career.
When you say the front, you mean you
glass,
designed
glass, glass,
it?
And everything. You know, and, entrances entirely different because it was all wood. Then Carrera glass come out. We used to use Carrera glass and porcelain.
Did you design it? Did you give
some
them?
Of them I designed it, and then I got connected with an architect, Mr. Rosenberg, and we worked together.
That's interesting. That's great.
Well, we really were pioneers.
Yes, that's
the
wonderful.
The first job I got was in Elwood City, outside of town, and I was going around with Mr. Golub from the Golub Painting Labs. He's dead now. And we went out there, and we got a first job I got, it was in Elwood City, from a man by the name Shapiro, building a storefront and fixtures. That time, our son was born, and she was living on Aaron Avenue with him. And we decided to finish up there in order to be able, we didn't come home every day. We were eating there with some Jewish family. So 11 o'clock, I started back home from Melville City. And until you reach to the main highway, which is Route 30, all of a sudden, my machine starts shooting. You know, bearing board on, and it was shooting. So my partner says, let's not look. So we drove it in to Center Avenue in Pittsburgh. You know, at night, maybe 11, 12 o'clock at night, we came into Pittsburgh. Mm. This way I started my career in the small towns. Then I used to get very nice jewelry storefronts to build in Washington, PA. In Butler, I built Battery in Greensboro.
Yeah. Did your son work with you at all since he was an architect?
No, he didn't want to.
He didn't want to?
He didn't want to. He went away to Philadelphia. And there he went to college and he got another diploma, you know, beside architecture.
Master's degree, but still in the same field. In
architecture. And then little by little he worked himself in. And right now he's got a pretty nice big project with some partners. And right now things changed. Mm-hmm.
But he's in business for himself.
Oh, yeah.
That's wonderful. That's really a great story. Is there anything that you would like to add?
Would you like to tell us what it was like being here during the Depression?
What?
What was it like being in Pittsburgh during the Depression? Your memories?
The Depression wasn't too good, but we managed.
Were you working during the Depression?
No, not very much. One time me and another fellow went to look for a job from Heron Avenue to the south side.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't get nothing. Then we walked from there to the north side and we didn't get nothing either. Mm. We couldn't do it. So we walked home and we both didn't need nothing the whole day. Mm. You know, we were ashamed to tell. Then I got a job and I made a little bit of money. So I paid off Mr. Rosenstein his bill for the material. And then I told him, borrow me $15, I have to pay my gas bill.
Mm.
Then I went in with him in partners with Morris Rosenstein, and I built a thoroughfare market. It was the first market there I built on Butler Street, on the thoroughfare market. And I became a good friend with one of the vice presidents on the thoroughfare. He was a greener who came from Ireland, and we both understood each other.
Mm.
And with them, we were taking locations, and I was building shopping centers with him, and managed them for a while. It wasn't so easy, but I was 7:30. I was in Butler, which is close to 40 miles from Pittsburgh, every morning. Then I had whatever it is. It wasn't easy, you know. But we managed. It was a real pioneer.
Did you build any type of shopping areas in Pittsburgh?
No.
Pittsburgh?
No.
Nothing in the city?
Butler and Connorsville and Greensburg and Hampton and all around.
You just stayed on the outskirts, right?
Yeah.
You stayed on the surrounding areas.
How you think I got in and partners with A.J. Abraham, and A.J. Abraham was the owner of the Union Real Estate Company, and he was one of the biggest real estate people at that mm-hmm. time. So he calls me up one time and he says, look, I got a piece of land in Butler.
mm-hmm.
And he had partners with another man, you know, for 2 years, and he had a lease signed with the thoroughfare markets, and he didn't build. So the thoroughfare mm-hmm. told him, if you don't build, we're going to go someplace. This was the first market in Butler.
Sure.
So he calls me up and he says to me, I'm going to sell you the piece of land in Butler. I took my partner and I went out there, and my partner says, he don't want it.
Mm.
So I didn't have any, you know, I didn't have no problem. So I was on Fifth Avenue. It was a lot of commotion on Fifth Avenue. It was all the commotion.
Mm-hmm.
And I called up Mr. Eberman and he says, look, if you want to go in with me, he didn't build any shopping centers at all, you know. I'll go with you. I was afraid of him because I thought he's too smart for me. So I wasn't in a hurry. Anyhow, on Fifth Avenue, I call him up and I says, my partner, my money man, you know, the man from the Center Builders, he's not interested in, if you have anybody else would want to go with me, I'll consider. He says, would you go with me? I says, I'll let you know. I know. I walk away from him to the Peerless Wallpaper Company. It was owned by a man, Abe Baskin, which was a harbor of the Poilu Zion, and, you know, and the Sadrut, he was the treasurer, very fine man. And I said to him, Harbor Baskin, you know, Mr. Eberman wants me to go on apartment. He says to me, you understand Yiddish?
No.
He says to me, go.
Yeah.
You have nothing to worry. As long as he is with you on one side, you could have a better man.
Uh-huh.
But if he's on one side and you are on the other, then have to be careful. I says, for this I'm not worried. And I call up Mr. Everman and I says, all right, I'm ready to talk. He says, come down. I came around, I says, look, hear what I can tell you. I went to your friend, Mr. Baskin, who already had some property with him partners. And there I told him I want to go with you. Hear what he told me. As long as we are both on one side, there's nothing to worry. Let's try to be on one side if he was with him for, you know, for many years. Till his last day, till he died. And I built quite a few shopping centers and additions, you know. So I had a contract and then I'm supposed to get 10% as a contractor for building and be a partner too. But I didn't have to go around to get tenants to rent it.
Mm-hmm.
So we came to Butler. We only had three leases, and we want to build 10 stores.
Okay.
So he had a real estate man working for him by the name Mr. Smith. Mr. Smith could drink more whiskey than I could drink water. So Mr. Smith used to get drunk and many times. So I've been here, I'm a butler, and I don't know what to do, what kind of stores to build. So I took one side of Butler, which all the stores in Butler was a prosperous little town, and he took the other one, and he started soliciting. I went into a man who had an Army and Navy store, but he was never, I don't think he was ever out of Butler. And I start talking to him, and I'm going to build a shopping center, but he certainly says, "You crazy, who's going to go out there? Who's going to go out there?" You know, and he didn't encourage me. He was going around and solicited quite a few people. We didn't get too many, then later on we stopped building. We got a few people. And then I got in there in July 19. Anyhow, I got there in July and on 1950, in January, we had the opening.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it was the first opening in Butler and the first opening of Chevron Signal, even in this part of the state. So there was there, everybody was there. The mayor and everyone, and they had the music and everything. And we had the opening there. This was one of was a very happy day. And then since then, I was going with the woman. Then I built two, three additions to everything.
So How many stores were built when the initial
addition to that, I built them another 8 or 10 stores beside the first three.
Mm-hmm.
Then we got some tenants and got acquainted.
Mm-hmm. And then people got to know what a shopping center was and then Butler and liked it, right?
Yeah, and then there was no sewer there.
Mm.
And I didn't know, and I started building, and there was no sewage, and then they came around and told me they can't put no septic tanks. You got to put a sewer in, and I had to make a deal with the Butler people, you know, to bring in a sewer. So I had to bring it in from one end of the other till under the highway and bring it in. So I really was on the underground till, but we managed. And you know the big people in the politics. But in the small towns, you know, there are a few politicians.
Mm-hmm.
There was one fellow there, he was an Irishman. And they didn't like him, and he was a minor, very fine man. So he took a liking of me, and always helped me out, you know. So I had to go there at night, you know, to meetings, and anyhow, we got through. This was the first adventure there. So it was a fine year. What was it?
It's interesting.
And this wasn't enough, you know. The first man, I had a carpenter, one with one leg, and his son, and me. Mm. I was doing the carpenter work too, besides doing the management and everything else. Well, Mr. Eberman find out, and I could talk to potential takers. So the rest of the jobs are built. He left it already to me, so I had like a couple jobs. But I didn't work with the tools, but I had men. And, well, anyhow, I don't point anywhere.
You supervised
it.
Yeah. Go ahead.
What was the name of your company?
A&B was the first word. A&B Development Company, Everman in Vermont Development Company was the first one.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And then we had different ones. Connorsville Shopping Center, Montrose Shopping Center, isn't important.
Had you seen shopping centers in other cities that gave you the idea to build your first one?
One time we went for a ride to Erie. They were building in Erie at 2 shopping centers. We went there. And then we flew from there to another place, you know, we took the architect along, you know, Mr. Rosenberg. We have some literature, and then everything was advertised. It was entirely different.
So you had ideas?
But I had one job and the other, very tough job. I got a heart attack over there. Had a lot of trouble there.
Where was that?
This is Pine Shopping Center, a big one.
In where? What
it's
area?
In Rosefield. It's in Ross Township.
Oh, Ross Township.
It's close to Pittsburgh. And he had two partners, two brothers, lawyers, you know. They didn't contribute too much because, you know, in a small town, there's parties, so anything they had against them, they all the dark as me. It wasn't so easy.
Mm.
But we survived.
Good.
Yeah, we got a lot of experience in life. Wasn't too easy. Besides this, I was running around to do something for Israel.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm going to tell you something, and I'm not bragging, but this is history.
Mm-hmm.
When the man who created the Ampal Trading Corporation, his name was Mr. Dickenstein.
What trading corporation?
Ampal.
American
Palestine Corporation.
Oh, sure.
He got an order. Just listen, this is history.
Mm-hmm.
He got an order in Israel. He was the head of a kibbutz in Israel.
Mm-hmm.
I need this paper. So he got an order. They took him out from the kibbutz and they told him, go to America.
Mm-hmm.
And try and organize an exchange like they had with Russia, you know, to send materials.
Mm-hmm.
So he came to Pittsburgh. And we just finished that time, the Gewerkschaft campaign that was used to have a campaign for tools for the Israel Chalutzim, you know. So we just finished the campaign, you know. And there was a fellow named Mr. Burke, who was the president. And there was Sam Goldstock, a very fine lawyer. And Sam Baskin was a son of the treasurer. Myself, we were the vice president. So I had to run around.